Man, the last day in Latrobe came upon us quickly, did it not?
Yeah, I mean, those 2.5, almost 3 weeks always seem to just completely fly by.
Would you characterize this training camp as chock full of good stories, big stories, tumultuous, dramatic, boring, run-of-the-mill? How would you characterize this particular camp?
Well, it sure as hell hasn't been boring when Brandon Ayuk is seemingly in the news every other day. But the guys that are on the field right now, it's one of the most, I think, noteworthy and newsworthy training camps in years because of the battle at the main position in the field and on the main position, the most important position in all sports. And it's not that big of a battle to determine who's the number one guy. But when you have Russell Wilson not practicing for a week, and the whole entire conversation is, well, what's going on with him? Is he all right? And Justin Fields is performing well in practice. Yeah, that's not even touching the surface of like a Cam Hayward contract discussion, what's going on at corner, and then trying to replace some guys at wide receiver, as well as the offensive line with three young players.
I disagree entirely. I think it's been one of the least newsworthy training camps that I can remember. I think it could have been newsworthy. There could have been a Cam Hayward upset. You know, there could have been some upset with him. And that just went smoothly from day one. Najee talked on day one, didn't say much, and that was it. And has been, you know, just going through his normal routine. Justin Fields was a pretty big story, but it never really got to the point where I don't think where anybody really believes he has a chance to start game one. And then, like, what else? Yeah, Russell Wilson's injury. That was probably a big story. But now he's back. He missed most of training camp, really, as far as running with the ones. That's probably the biggest story. I just didn't see it. I've seen too many others where there's big injury or big upset or a new contract or, you know, something. You know what I mean?
So you're not counting Brandon Ayuk in any of this at all, like the Brandon Ayuk discussions?
I mean, nothing happened. If that happens, you know, today on the final day, then that would change the tenor of this camp.
It's still been a huge, huge talking point at camp.
It has. I mean, it has. But it really didn't. It wasn't germane to camp itself. And I don't even know what germane means, city limits.
I don't either.
What was the biggest story of camp? Wilson's injury?
Probably
Justin Fields getting all those snaps?
Probably Justin Fields getting all the snaps, yeah. And how he was looking, progressing, just kind of an okay day in the preseason game. I mean, I thought he was fine for some portions of it. He wasn't bad.
Do you feel better about the Steelers, worse, or the exact same than you did when camp began?
I feel the exact same.
Which is what?
A 10-win team. Maybe, probably not an 11-win team, but a 10-win team at most. Maybe 9-win team.
I feel the exact same, too. Maybe slightly better. The receivers have looked okay, you know. Maybe a little better than I thought. It's so hard to tell in the preseason game. But I guess a little worse because they didn't clinch the Ayuk deal.
Right.
And I'm not that optimistic about it right now. To me, that's a 1 or 2 win difference right there in their season with that guy. So I probably feel worse than I did, but not too far off, really. I thought Peyton Wilson would be a story in camp. Now, Roman Wilson's injury was a pretty big story.
Yes.
Right?
Especially because he realistically, if you do not get Brandon Ayuk, could flourish to become the number two wide receiver. Because, I mean, he has more upside, I think, than Van Jefferson does.
Yeah.
Even though I liked what I saw from Jefferson the one day I was out there at camp, he's a bigger receiver than I thought he was. But he still is not a high upside guy, especially at his age, that can carry the load as a number two to George Pickens, especially because Pickens is going to get double teamed a lot this year if they don't get Ayuk.
I'm trying to gauge the excitement level with the Steelers, and it's very difficult to do. I think people are probably aware, although maybe not, that outside of our city limits, no pun intended, that they're basically regarded as a pretty mediocre team with no chance to win a championship. Am I right about that?
No, I would say that's very much the case.
That's what the Vegas odds say. That's what you're going to read and hear and see from any outlet you can think of, any so-called or real expert you can think of nationally. exactly nobody thinks of the Steelers as a Super Bowl contender. I don't think.
I think more national pundits believe the Steelers are more of a last place team in the AFC North than a Super Bowl contender.
Possibly. Possibly. And what was true before training camp is true today, and it'll be true in the season opener, and however far in the season he gets as the starter, like almost every team, they're going to go as their quarterback goes. And if Russell Wilson can still play, I suppose the more that we talk about this, he's the story from camp. He's still a little bit shrouded in mystery. You know what I mean? They haven't unveiled Russell Wilson the Steeler yet. You know?
Yeah, he hasn't played in a preseason game and has barely been out there in practice.
Exactly. That's the story from this camp, is that Russell Wilson has yet to be really unveiled. They're going to go as their quarterback goes. If Russell Wilson can still play and if he can thrive in this offense, they have a chance to be really good. They do, regardless of who the number two receiver is. But if Russell Wilson is, again, as a lot of people, I think, believe, trending downward in his career, and maybe steeply, then they're in trouble. Then it becomes a Justin Fields situation. So it's all about the quarterback. Bottom line, like every team in their division is about the quarterback. The Browns, if Deshaun Watson could ever recover his Texans form, when I think he was a legit star and a borderline top five player, if he ever recovers that, then they vault themselves to Super Bowl contender status, but he doesn't look anything like that. He doesn't look like a top 15 guy.
No, this is his make or break year.
Joe Burrow, if he's healthy and ready to go this season, they're the favorite in the division because he's the best quarterback when healthy in the division. Lamar, if he's healthy, they're going to be in it. And they're gonna win a ton of games. That's what his whole entire career tells you. Whatever you think of Lamar Jackson in the playoffs so far, and whether you believe they can win a Super Bowl with him, whatever. He wins the vast majority of his regular season games. So if he's healthy for the vast majority of the season, they're gonna be in contention for the division title. I just think that's pure and simple logic. And then you get to the Steelers. And what's going to happen with Russell Wilson? That was the story. That is the story. And that will be the story. Right?
Well, yeah. I mean, you live and die by your quarterback. And thinking about Russell Wilson, the first thing that comes to mind for me is, what Russell Wilson are you going to get this year? You're not going to get any Seattle Russell Wilson anymore because he was so much working with his legs, utilizing, rolling out of the pocket. He's just not the same player anymore. He's what, 35, 36? He's not young Russell Wilson anymore. Are you getting the Nathaniel Hackett Russell Wilson where the offense was a disaster? Maybe it was the play calling, but everything continued to spiral on him and he just was not very good. Or are you getting last year Russell Wilson with a Sean Payton, who's a decent play designer, I guess maybe for that offense, Wilson didn't think so, but still put up numbers, took care of the football, and if he had more pieces around him and a better team like the Steelers have, they could have made the playoffs and could have maybe won a playoff game or two. So that's what my only concern and main problem is with Russell Wilson. Is he still good or is he washed? And I think he's probably... Wash is too extreme to call him right now. I think it's probably somewhere in the middle between a great quarterback and just on the verge of being done in a couple of years.
ESPN did a deep dive here on Brandon Ayuk. Is he worth this money? How good of a receiver he is and what they think is going to happen here. And of course, they don't really come to a conclusion. Nobody does. Maybe he doesn't even sign a contract and just comes back and plays like six games for them. Let's look at the AFC here. City Limits. How many automatic or how many really good bets would you say are there for the playoffs? Buffalo's one.
I'd say there's four.
Buffalo. I think Buffalo, Cincinnati.
Kansas City.
I'd
say Baltimore.
Baltimore.
Those are your set four. And then I also
what about
like Jacksonville
Houston?
And Houston a lot. I don't know if Houston is a lock. I could see a sophomore slump for them. But with C.J. Stroud, they're probably going to make the playoffs.
So there's seven spots. Buffalo, Cincy, Baltimore, Houston, Kansas City. Decent health, those teams get in.
Yes.
I think that's five spots.
So five locks.
That leaves the Steelers battling the likes of the Dolphins, Jets, Browns, Jags. Maybe that's it.
Then the AFC West. Chargers.
Maybe.
Yeah, I'd put the Chargers in there. I know they have no wide receivers, but Harbaugh's going to pull something up.
I think it might take a year for him to get going there. They do have no receivers, and now Herbert is he's hurt in the preseason. He's got a walking. Is he out of that walking boot yet? I don't know. There's just I don't know if they're going to be a contender this year. I think there's five decided, and then there's five teams legitimately going for two spots. I guess there's always one surprise team. Who would you pick as your surprise team, big boy? I guess the Chargers, right?
The Chargers, I don't think, is Jacksonville, can you consider them a surprise team
no,
at this point?
They're going to be in it. They're good. And they have I thought Trevor Lawrence was a disappointment last year, but I still think he's a pretty good quarterback. I still think a lot of teams would like to be going into their season with Trevor Lawrence as their quarterback. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I think Trevor Lawrence is one of the best 10 quarterbacks in football.
Bring it for Texts in the City, please. We need you for our final segment of the day. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. And then we're going to go back to Texts in the City, I guess without the music. But it's Texts in the City brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say, there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Give us your hot takes, whatever you have, and we'll take the best ones. He'll read them, and I'll rate them. That's what we'll do coming up next. Final thoughts on the Pirates. I promise that here. You know, it's just unbelievable to me that Derek Shelton thinks this is more a matter of bad luck than bad baseball. I mean, can you play that clip again from him from his show here yesterday? I just respectfully disagree. I think there's examples of bad baseball all over the place. Here was our exchange from the Derek Shelton show yesterday. The losing streak has really put a damper on things, obviously. And now you guys have about, I think, six teams in front of you and a bunch of games. And it's sort of unbelievable that this has happened. Do you feel like there's almost a state of shock about the team?
I think there's a state of we need to catch a break. I mean, it's one of those situations where we haven't played bad baseball. You know, we've lost, I think, since the break, 9 one-run games. We've lost. During this stretch of the eight, I think we've lost 6 one-run games. We're not finishing games or making the big play to be able to get us to a victory right now. And, yeah, it's extremely frustrating.
I think some people might quibble with that. I think as to whether you've been playing good or bad baseball, it's certainly been competitive. I don't think anybody would question your team's competitive spirit. But when you look at some of the games, whether it's pitches they would want back or the O'Neill Cruz game in Houston, I think there have been plenty of examples of bad baseball. Would you disagree with that?
I don't know. I mean, your definition of bad baseball may be different than my definition of bad baseball.
I mean, mine includes not moving runners, failing to execute simple sacrifice bunts, players failing to back up a base, hustling over there like Luis Ortiz in his previous start previous to last night. Pitchers not honing in on 0-2 and giving up critical hits on 0-2 counts. Three consecutive balls hitting the ground in a game against the Padres, all of which should have been caught. Or we can just look at last night. Rowdy Tellez not running out of the box. Several runners not sprinting to first base. Jiwon Bae was one. Rowdy was another, and I realize these are routine ground balls, but if you're selling your team, as Shelty does, on we hustle all the time, we never give up, that's the kind of club we are, man, they were jogging around last night, not being able to catch a simple throw, O'Neill Cruz, not being able to turn a routine ground ball into an out, O'Neal Cruz inexplicably stopping between second and third on a single behind you, Rowdy Tellez swinging at balls that are a time zone away from the strike zone. That's Brian De La Cruz giving up two unearned runs, striking out 15 times in 34 at-bats. If that's not bad baseball, man, I would hate to see bad baseball. I can tell you that. I would hate to see bad baseball. And the implication there from him is that because we're in close games, we're playing pretty well. I don't agree. That's all. I simply don't agree. You don't get a 9-game losing streak unless you're playing bad baseball, regardless of how close most of the games are. That's my thought anyway. My other thought is that the season is absolutely over. 7 games out of the last wild card spot with 6 teams in front of them, 11 games behind the Brewers, and, you know, nothing to really hang your hat on here. Even Skeen says the one thing you had that you knew, you know, when Skeens goes out there, he could pitch a no-hitter, he's going to be great. That's waned a little bit, understandably. You're not supposed to get that every time. But even that has waned a little bit in recent starts where he doesn't hit 100 miles an hour. He's getting hit up a little bit, you know, hit per inning, I think, over his last 3 starts, that type of thing. Maybe that's indicative that this team was hanging on by a thread anyway, which I think is probably the truth.
The fact that the 10 games over the last 2 weeks has played out the way that they have, it just seems to me like not just a lack of execution and not playing good baseball, but a lack of fundamentals. And a lack of fundamentals that has been around for 5 seasons. Like, is what we're watching right now during this stretch any different than what we've watched over the past 4 years, 5 years? In terms of the way that they go about their business defensively, trying to finish games. Now, the players might be slightly better than a couple of years ago, like with Joey Bart in the fold and obviously the pitching staff. But the problems are still very similar. Now, is that just a baseball thing where things like this happen? I don't think as consistently as they are during this losing streak and even earlier portions in the season that we can point to.
It's a disaster.
That's my biggest quibble with this team. Because
I mean, my biggest quibble is talent. Yeah. My two biggest quibbles are talent and then the people who are talented not performing. And I think of Key Brian Hayes, David Bednar, Colin Holderman as 3 prime examples. And then you want to throw in Sawinski and Davis, and there goes your season. So as much as Ben Cherington is to blame for many, many things, and as much as Derek Shelton is to blame for many things, I'm sorry, man, but coming into the year, you needed Sawinski, Davis, Hayes, Bednar, Holderman, guys like that to fulfill their end of the bargain. And I start with the players. That's why. Because those guys, you know, you always expect one or two to not have a great season. Maybe be a couple will be down, a couple will be up. But to have players like that, all of them just underperform to the degree they did, that killed their season more than anything.
And there's too many excuses. Like, there are just flat out too many excuses. And I just don't think there's enough accountability. Now, correct me if you think I'm wrong, but where is the accountability for this team internally? And even in Derek Shelton, just we're not playing bad baseball. Like, I just can't get over that. How can you not point to the fact that, yes, you are. You're not finishing. You're not playing good baseball. It might not be horrendous. It might not be White Sox baseball. But I don't know how you can point to it being okay baseball. It's just being content with being in the middle and
mediocrity. No, I just named all the things from last night. It is White Sox level at the moment. What was the White Sox losing streak? 21? Well, we're almost halfway there. And when you're doing things like not catching a ball that's coming at you from the pitcher like 2 feet away, I'm exaggerating. When you're turning routine ground balls into base runners, when you're not running out of the box, all that stuff, that's White Sox level stuff. And this is what you get. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. And what's cooking, brought to you by your local Geico rep, Tim Hester, very
thank
kindly.
You, sir. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Very kindly. Do you have a couple texts for me?
I do have a couple texts for you.
Please read them.
If Shelton says they're not playing bad baseball, maybe he needs to look in the mirror and ask himself if he's coaching bad baseball.
Yeah, I'll give that one a two. I just believe that baseball managers have a very, very small effect compared to other coaches. And he had a horrendous week last week, Derek Shelton did. But this is more on the players than it is anybody else. It is. I believe that. And he's made some very bad decisions. And I don't think he's seeing things clearly if he's saying that this is not, that they're not playing bad baseball. It's almost an unbelievable statement, actually. Next.
Ryan from Gibsonia. My girlfriend thinks I need to go to therapy, and I have Derek Shelton to blame for that.
Well, therapy's never a bad idea, City Limits. You should try it as well.
You think I need it?
I think we could all use a little bit of it. Yeah,
probably.
I don't think you need to be like in this horrendous spot in life to benefit from it. In fact, I'm going to suggest somebody to you, and I want you to go to them tomorrow.
Joe in Lawrenceville, we need some sports figures calling in to celebrate IT's last day like you did for Ron. Instead of Joe Namath, what about Phil Dracovic? Can't get John Calipari. Maybe City Limits wiffle ball coach can call in. I am the coach.
We should get some people calling in. When is IT's last day? Friday?
Friday, last day.
Yeah, I'm already sad about this. We're going to have a little party for IT.
Hello, Pony. I'm very sad as well.
What else should we do for IT? Who can call in? Antonio Brown? By the way, you just reminded me. Can you drop? I'm going to use my third Paul
Pause. Pause of the day.
How many do we get here?
I guess you get three. It works in perfectly for George and Plum saying, hey guys, I was about to send you a great text for Text in the City, but my mom just yelled down that the meatloaf was done. Bless you.
I can't find the CTE ESPN. Can you find that? Antonio Brown had what he thought was Aiyuk news. Can you find that?
Yeah, he just posted a picture of Aiyuk.
No, he didn't. He said something on there. And now I can't find it. Nah, I don't care. Read the next text.
Final text. Nolan, in New Kensington. I'm breaking the story. The Athletic ran out of Achilles tendons for Cabali. You can't make the club in the tub, bub.
Do you think Cabali was offended when I introduced him as recently fired Steelers writer Mark Cabali?
I don't think he felt good about it.
Yes, he does. Here's the thing. He does feel good about it because this dude is going to wind up maybe on the McAfee show.
Right. I think that's very possible.
He's going to have a higher profile job. And he's going to be making more money. So I didn't feel bad about it.
I would have used free agent Mark Cabali.
No. Recently fired, I thought was better. I can't find this. Oh, does that make me mad? Anyway.
J.J. McCarthy will miss the entire 2024 season with a torn meniscus. How about
Sam
that?
Sam Darnold, here we come.
Sam
huh?
Darnold, the starter in Minnesota.
Fan weather, the Chevy Summer Drive continues at Sun Chevrolet up to $7,500 in rebates. Terms, conditions at sunchevy.com. High of 83 today with sunny skies, which is why I'm going to play golf. What are you going to do with the rest of your day, Limitless Wonder?
I'm not sure. Maybe I'll take some wiffle ball swings, go home, and get some stuff done.
Paul's back tomorrow. Goodbye.
Goodbye.